listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, February 12th. Joining us by phone this morning, our friend Tim Hetzner, president of Lutheran Church Charities. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you, sir?
Good. Causing the devil problems?
Trying. We're here proclaiming the good news of Jesus, doing it every day.
That will cause it.
what's going on with you and our friends at Lutheran Church Charities these days?
Oh, we've been busy. Placing comfort dogs and canine dogs for our military. We just placed a dog out last weekend out in First Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
So we got a dog out there working the strip. A lot of hurting people out there.
I'm sure. That's the place to be.
Yeah, we're placing one this weekend out in Yuba City, California, First Lutheran Church out there. So that'd be your second dog out in California. We've got one in Napa Valley. Placed one here right before that at St. John and Lutheran Church in Lombard, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And March, we'll be placing one at Hilton Head at Island Lutheran Church in Hilton Head.
Wow.
And then April, down by you in Washington, Missouri, at Emmanuel Lutheran.
Yes, with Deaconess Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and there's some more that we're placing. So it's exciting as we continue to expand with the Comfort Dog Ministry. And, of course, we dual vest our dogs now so that with veterans, they go out as canine dogs, too, to serve military veterans and their families. So that's been an exciting and certainly a wide-open mission field for our churches to get out in the community with many of the veterans who are not church, you know, particularly the young ones that are coming back now and more. Going to have young veterans that are going to be coming back into the States after their term of service, and many of them are suffering in a lot of different ways from what they've been through. So that has been exciting. We're doing once a month, I encourage our churches to, on the 22nd of every month, a outreach for veterans to just tell veterans to invite veterans to come in and just eat and talk and just a way of supporting. And we're doing it on the 22nd because in the U.S., 22 veterans commit suicide a day that we're aware of. So so that's the comfort dog part of things. We've been busy with disaster response, too, with flooding.
Right, yeah.
As you know, down in your area, we also at that same time up in Watseka, Illinois, had that town that had been flooded again. You know, we had been up there working with them, and they had been flooded. There's three rivers that go through there, and they got flooded again. So working in a lot of the same places, partnering with Central Illinois with it.
What is unique, Tim, what's unique about response in an area that's been affected by flood?
Well, you know, it's people have to. I remember if an area gets flooded, and all of our volunteers say, you know, can we go in and can we go in and help? Well, you can't go, you can't do too much until the water starts going down.
Right.
With it, you know, we had something just which kind of was kind of a dream come true for me. You know, in a flooding situation, one of the first things that need to be done is people with basements that need their basements pumped out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go in with what we do is called muck out, is to help clean out and so forth. But everybody needs their basements pumped out. And, you know, you have to have they have to have the right kind of pumps for that. So anyway, with LCMS Disaster Response, partnering with Lutheran Church Charities, we were able to purchase six professional pumps, 4-inch and 3-inch, that can pump 300 gallons a minute.
Wow.
And what's exciting about that is because we now have the capacity to go into basically a town that's been flooded or a whole area that's been flooded and go house to house and offer to pump out their basements. And we've got the professional hoses and everything else with it. And what it does is very few people will say no to that. But it puts you in contact with so many families that are hurting right away in a community to offer to do their pump outs, and You know, that's you imagine the gospel impact of that as you go around from house to house and you know, they ask, you know, who are you with or why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. We always say we're doing it because we're Christian. We always say that first because that's our motivation for what we do. Then they, you know, they'll ask, you know, what brand, what tribe do you belong to? And of course, we always say, you know, we're Lutheran, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And then we mention the name of the local church that we're working through. So this gives us the ability now anywhere in the United States with these pumps to travel out where a flood takes place right away and be able to put boots on the ground and help people immediately in that situation. And the same with when you have tornadoes that go through, one of the first things that need to be done always is tree removal. Because trees are falling down on homes or garages or in backyards. And we now have over 200 guys that have chainsaws that are trained and certified to do that. So we've got and equipment. So we can go out anywhere in the United States with that kind of force to immediately make a difference with people. And that's the key, you know, Andy, is in disasters or crises, because we go out suicides and everything else with our dogs, is to be there and to be there quickly.
Did you ever think, Tim, when you started your preparation, that formation to become a director of Christian education, that dogs and chainsaws and
no.
and pumps, you know, would be a part of your service to the
no,
Lord and his people?
Absolutely not. You know, and Andy, back at that time, you know, all of our training centered about bringing people into the building, bringing people in and doing activities primarily inside the building, and how to engage and disciple people and so forth, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But the truth of the matter is, it's not about bringing people in. It's about sending people out and to engage people out where they're at and to engage people in times of crisis and need. That's your outreach, and that, I believe, is the Jesus method. You know, I have yet to find in the Gospels Jesus ever inviting somebody to synagogue or temple. Mm-hmm. But he's constantly telling us to go out. Now, should the people of God gather? Absolutely.
Most certainly.
To gather
mm-hmm.
around him and his word and sacrament. But we gather to be charged up so that we deploy out. And I don't use the word send out anymore. I use the word deploy out, because deploy means you're going out on a mission. And our mission is to bring the mercy and compassion, presence and proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who are suffering and in need. And, man, we have a world full of that.
We do.
So it has been fun, but no, I never thought I'd, you know, if somebody 8 years ago would have said I'd be driving around with a group of blondes, I would have got all excited. If they had told me they were golden retrievers, I would have said, I don't think so. But, you know, it's not our plans, Andy, it's God's. And I always say God works in spite of us, and if he can just get out of the way, he can do some mighty stuff.
If we can be those humble servants and serve where he gives us yep. to serve, right?
It just amazes me how God has things planned out for us, which shouldn't surprise us. You know, Ephesians says, you know, saved by grace through faith instead of ourselves, instead of which of boast, for works which God has prepared,
mm-hmm.
which means he's got the agenda already out there. He's got things already lined up for us to do. And we just have to learn to see things as Jesus sees things. You know, that's my big thing in church, speaking with churches, is to help churches see things as Jesus sees things. You know, I use an example. You know, you got somebody on the side of the road that, you know, had a stoplight, you know, that has carrying a sign of, you know, help me, you know, I'm hungry or whatever. You know, and we sometimes, okay, I'll give him a dollar, I'll give him a $2. Jesus would invite the guy in. And he'd bring him home and eat with him. And he would work with the person, because the food is only a vehicle to touch the soul. And the works that we are to do, not for our salvation, the works are what God has prepared for us to do so that we can touch people and talk with people and share with people who Jesus is. I ask another question at churches. You know, I say, if somebody walked in your narthex on Sunday morning and said, I want to find out more about this guy named Jesus, what would the people in your narthex do? The top two answers, get the pastor, and we have this membership course. Now, the guy's not asking to join. He wants to know about this person named Jesus. And so I say to churches, I says, you know, all of our churches have membership classes because I said, maybe we should break those down and say, we first have a course on who is Jesus and who is this guy and talk about that and talk about, you know, the biblical teaching about who God is and who Jesus is and what that means and what he calls us to be and work with him on that level. Membership is a whole different issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be about membership to a church. It should be engaging in a body of Christ with a local group of believers who happen to call themselves Missouri Synod Lutherans. And we're Missouri Synod Lutherans, not because we've got it all right, but it's because this is how we understand what Scripture and what God is all about. And boy, there's a world of need out there with that. And Andy, you know, church is going to be done differently going forward. You know, the younger people coming up that aren't in church, they don't want to play games anymore. They want to go out and serve. And if you can provide opportunities for people to interact with people and actually touch lives and make a difference, they'll engage. And through that engagement, they meet Jesus. And they come into and wanting to be part of a body of people that believe and are willing to die for a cause. And that's what it means to be a Christian.
What I found most recently here in the Midwest, in the St. Louis area, Eureka, Missouri area, with the flooding, is that the disaster, as sad as it may be and as devastating as it may be with the flooding, has provided opportunities for us to, as a congregation, to connect with people in the community, to serve them, first and foremost, to serve them in their time of need, but to learn about them and to engage in conversation with people who might never have ever sought us as a congregation out, who might never have come in the doors of our church building to hear the word of Jesus, but through their need, we're given the opportunity to serve them and to build a relationship with them and speak those words of comfort from Christ.
Right.
Whether they recognize they're from Christ at first or not, through that relationship, and as we continue to speak those words of comfort, they come to know who Christ is as they hear his word.
Absolutely. Never waste a good disaster or crisis. And I believe that God allows those to happen for that very purpose, because you know, somebody may lose their home in a disaster, but if in that process they meet Jesus, they have a secure home that will never be destroyed, and it's waiting for them, and Jesus has already prepared it. And people are receptive to hear that in disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, peace and prosperity is one of the worst things for the kingdom. It really is. I mean, when people are peaceful and prosperous and, you know, they think they're secure in their own little world. But when tragedy happens and they realize that the things that they put trust in can all be washed away, they look for something that is solid and secure and provides them hope in a future. And that's the message of what it means to be a Christian, the message of Jesus.
Hmm. And it proclaiming that good news everywhere we go, everywhere we're given, that's what we're doing. That's what Lutheran Church Charities is doing. What are some of the things coming up in the near future with LCC?
Well, we're still placing dogs, branching mm-hmm. out into more states now with our Care 9, talking with churches and helping churches to actually format a plan where you get all of your members out into the community on a regular basis, not a hit and miss basis, but on a regular basis in serving people. So we're doing a lot of seminars and different things on that. We'll be attending the best practices out in Phoenix here next week. I'll be out there at that speaking, and some exciting things that happen out there. I'll tell you, there's just a synergy there, and I think they're up to like 2,000 people at this coming up of just looking at things that churches are doing, and I should say looking at things that God is doing through our churches and the impactful things with lives. So that's exciting. And the other exciting thing, Andy, is just, you know, being part of a network of believers. We happen to call it the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that we work with. But when you see the synod and be the synod of working together with our churches and with our districts and with our congregations collectively to go out and make a difference, that just, I mean, that floats my boat.
Tim, how can we find out more about Lutheran Church Charity, stay informed with the things that the projects that we're working on, the people that are being served?
Well, you can go to our website, LutheranChurchCharities.org, or you can go to get our daily our newsletter that comes out once a week that has everything that we're involved with and opportunities for people to volunteer and to serve and ways that they can also support families that are in need that come to us that we work through all of our churches nationally to help. So that's our newsletter called Making a Difference. That comes out on Wednesday mornings. It's a free thing that just comes out in your email. And all that can be found on our website at Lutheran Church Charities, or you can call our office at 866-455-6466 and talk to somebody here, and we'll find out ways for you to be involved and help make a difference in the name of Jesus.
Thanks so much, Tim. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thanks for the great stuff that KFU. I mean, you guys are amazing. I look at the stuff that you're putting out there and the world impact that you have now because of technology, you know. you should have people send in pictures of, you know, listening to KFO in some jungle or someplace out like that because you're worldwide.
We are grateful for our worldwide listeners and partners and grateful for the opportunity to proclaim the good news of Jesus. More great stuff coming on in this year as well. New personalities, new talent coming to KFUO. I'm excited
Super.
About that.
Keep up the great work and thank you for getting out of the way and let God work.
Thanks, Tim. God's blessings on your work with Lutheran Church Charities.
You too.
Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Budenholzer in East Meadow, New York. You're listening to His Time.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Worldwide KFUO, a click away 24 hours a day. Originating from the studios of KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, the messenger of good news.
AP Radio News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. The words were heated at times on the debate stage last night between the Democratic candidates for president, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. The AP's Mark Smith is live in Milwaukee.
And the flashpoint in last night's PBS NewsHour debate was over who's the rightful heir to President Obama's legacy. Clinton argued it's not Sanders, given the things he's said.
Voters should have buyer's remorse when it comes to President Obama's leadership and legacy.
A low blow, countered Sanders, who said mostly he's been an ally. And he added this zinger.
One of us ran against Barack Obama. I was not that candidate.
The clash comes as both candidates look to woo black voters in the next primary state, South Carolina. Ed?
That's the AP's Mark Smith live in Milwaukee. The last four of the armed occupiers of a federal wildlife refuge in Oregon appear in court today. They surrendered yesterday, ending a tense standoff that started January 2nd. Julie Weichel lives near the refuge. She says the protesters deeply divided the community.
A broad assortment of gripes and complaints about a whole bunch of things in their lives can tear up a community in a way that I didn't think I could ever see.
The group's leaders were arrested about 2 weeks ago. A man with a machete and a knife entered a restaurant in Columbus, Ohio.
There were tables and chairs overturned. There was a man on the floor bleeding. There was blood on the floor.
Karen Bass was...